You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You're now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7th. The crew is in the building, starting off with my man Jay Moore. How are you, my brother?
Doing well, doing well. Another day in paradise.
I like that. Straight to the point. Mm-hmm. My man Longevity. Hey, buddy.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well, man. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. Good to see you as always.
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead and go.
Thank you.
To the Reading Rainbow.
Telling when to go.
So disrespectful, man. We ain't go down that road. My man DJ J Div, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
You good?
Yes, sir.
Good to see you as well.
Indeed, indeed.
Old crew is in the building. I'm talking about. I can't even remember what episode this is because I'm getting old.
379
episodes. But shout out to the people that's been rocking from day one and the newbies and the people that left. All of y'all are still important to the story, so we appreciate all of that.
This happened today. The people involved, unfortunately, in the murder of Jam Master Jay back in 2002, have finally been brought to justice and were convicted today. Thinking about it, that's 22 years ago.
Yes,
you know, but I'm pretty sure the people who knew Jay and were close to them, hopefully, this brings them a little bit of peace and closure.
Yes,
I know. When I had a situation where somebody I know had been killed, you know, it did bring close a chapter in my life where I wasn't. This wasn't something that was just a prevailing thing. And
right.
And this was only like maybe three and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm imagining you not having closure over 22 years.
Yeah.
You know, for them finally to be able to close that door, you know, what that could possibly mean. So, you know, I mean, it's just sad because it was people that were close to Jay.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just ridiculous when you realize it was people that he was really literally doing things for.
Enemies close, friends closer.
Yeah, that seems to be what it is these days.
Or vice versa. Yeah, it's messed up. It happened to be his godson and his childhood friend that pretty much set him up to be killed or killed him. So,
that's, you know, people craziness. He looked out for and put money in their pocket, and they still, it wasn't, this is the thing, sometimes it's never enough. It's never enough for the people who think you got it. That's very sad.
It makes me think about Biggie's interview, you know, when he talked about jealousy and envy and all that. This goes right along with, like you said, enemies closer, and it just sucks, bro. It sucks that those people were that close to him, and that's what happened. It's not good. No matter the situation, it's still bad because he passed away, but that just makes it even worse, man. But I'm glad justice was served. And
There's really no answer someone could give you that's going to make you feel 100% better.
This is kind of related. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see French Montana's interview where he talked about why he's not interested in buying the block?
Yep.
And
no,
it's
pretty much based
same,
on what happened
same
to
idea. Yeah. I mean, it's because of what happened to Nipsey.
Happened to Chinx as well, yeah. Who he was affiliated with. Yeah. Pretty much got killed in his neighborhood.
Yeah, by someone he knew. Someone he knew. Yeah.
So his statement pretty much was, I'm cool on that concept and I'm not.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what he said in the interview, but the premise of it was that it was based around, like Terry said, Chinx and Nipsey's, you know, because Nipsey was buying the block and
definitely
got shot in his own.
Yeah, he pretty much said that that was on his mind. That was like something that's on his checklist.
Yeah.
And once that happened to Nip, he was like, nah, it's a rap for all that. He said, I live in Calabasas. So he got all the way up out of there.
I mean, like, I've heard 50 say things very similar, you know, because, like, I think Jadakiss or something, like, was like, yo, come to the block, this, that, and third. And he's like, for what? For what? You know, that's where things that are out of my control can happen. And there are people there are enough people at this point that depend on me that I can't just do reckless things like that. It's not like a situation where, hey, come see me. I'm still out here. No, I'm a multi-million dollar brand, maybe on his way to being a billion if he can keep that trouble off of him, you know, with the TV shows, with the partnerships with the NBA. There's just certain places like, okay, I understand what you're saying. You never want to forget where you come from, but I can't go to where I come from because I see what happens when people go back there.
Culturally, that's trash because these things continue to happen. And you would think on paper, it just come back to the hood. Set up shop, employ people from your neighborhood, and just get on out of town and come back and have someone monitor the situation and everything's cool. On paper, it sounds like that, but clearly we've seen multiple times over and over again for some reason, that jealousy and envy that we were talking about, it always creeps back in and somebody loses their life.
Yeah, dog situation.
Yeah, and Nip was the one that really, that one really bothered me because his impact was huge on that corner. And with the marathon store and, you know, it just sucks.
That whole strip mall was his.
He bought the whole thing. Yeah, the whole thing.
Just how dude did he was just foul. Like, if you've seen that video,
yeah,
it made me sick to my stomach just seeing it. That's crazy.
I said it in jest, but like, that's why, like, if you have a lot going on for you, you really can't be around people who don't have anything going on for themselves.
Yeah.
Because they'll make a name for themselves. Like that minute, that short sighted situation where you're like, yeah, well, you know, I let him know what time it is. I'm really the man right now.
Oh, yeah.
And for whatever reason, you can't come around people who are barely getting by on a bus in your $300,000 car. You just can't, you know. I'm sorry. You can't come around in your $12,000 car. You know, if you see it's too much for people to handle sometimes, because like, what if he's out there with his kid, you know, the dude who's jealous, and he's out there with his kid, maybe his girl, and his kid goes crazy over, you know, a Porsche or a Rolls Royce he's never seen before, and the girl gets to smile a little bit too hard at this dude in his car, and then you get to feeling some kind of way. It's just too much for certain people to handle. Everyone is not happy for you. I don't think I can agree with French Montana over much, but I see where he's coming from.
I would say the only thing further from that is I think, because we talked about this when Nip passed away.
Yeah.
This same type of concept of, you know, leaving where you're from and, you know, realistically the importance of what Nipsey was doing.
Right.
The only thing that I would say is that it's possible to still buy, let's just use this as a hypothetical. It's possible to buy the block and not be at the block.
This is true.
I'll take that.
You know, it's possible to still engage in changing the ownership of situations and not be engaged and be the front person that shows up to it, you know, which was to Nipsey's demise, unfortunately.
It's a good point that you make.
With the whole Nip situation, it was more on some gangster type. He disrespected me like this, so I feel like I need to do this in return, retaliation, so to speak. And then, like, Chinks and all them, that's pure jealousy. You know, I'm rolling up in a nice car, and you
feel weak.
You
got
to take me out. Yeah. I'm just trying to get some food. Same thing with Young Dolph.
Yeah,
I mean, he was going to his favorite dessert spot and got killed trying to get some cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the place in California,
the Philly dude.
Yeah,
PNB
Rock.
PNB
Rock.
Yeah, same thing.
You know, it was like he and his girlfriend, and this is the wild thing. It's a neighborhood place, and like all you hear is like, "Oh man, don't go there and get food." Like, how crazy is that? Where you could tell somebody, "Don't go there and get
food."
And
all Shorty did was post a story. We in here.
I mean, I know, but still. I mean, if you tell people, if you go to sit down in a restaurant and like everybody's saying a neighborhood restaurant, like this is why, unfortunately, there's people who don't want to invest in certain neighborhoods because for the next, you know, 2 weeks, all I heard was like, oh, man, you don't sit down and eat there at a restaurant with tables.
Yeah.
And you're telling people from all around the world, don't sit down and eat at a restaurant. Like what are we accomplishing as, you know, like I said, I know California gang politics is all different. So I'm coming at it in a way that it doesn't make any sense to me. It makes sense to the people who live out there.
Right.
But if, you know, the fact that I can't sit here and have food with my lady friend and everybody's saying, oh man, he shouldn't have done that. Like why can't patronize businesses in our neighborhoods.
Right. Essentially, maybe not. I mean, cause that's what it boils down to, especially a neighborhood that you're not familiar with.
Yeah.
It just might not be a good idea. And people know in California too, having jewelry on it, you're a target immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of artists have spoken about how they don't go anywhere with jewelry on while they're in town because people are literally looking for you. They're foaming at the mouth trying to find somebody to rob. And that's what happened to PNB Rock, unfortunately.
I mean, that's what happened to, unfortunately, the other kid who was, you know, renting a place in Calabasas, Pop Smoke.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. And I was like, God, you know, it makes it, you know, of course I'm not rich and I don't have any jewelry, so I could probably go to California and have a great time. But you're just thinking like, are you just like, it makes, it seems like, you know, cause I've heard stories about like, basically if you want to come kick it in the neighborhoods and kick it with your own people, you're basically being extorted if you want to be safe. You know, so you wonder why like the vibe out there can be kind of weird, and you see celebrities and they're always in other places.
Right.
You know, they stay in Calabasas. They don't ever want to be around their own people. And you'd be like, well, why is that like that? It was like, because I don't want to be extorted. I want to enjoy myself and not have to run into a bunch of Crips when I go to my car.
All right, man. Let's perhaps we can get into some of the things we have on today.
Well, that's the point of what we're doing here.
Oh, yeah.
And so let's go ahead and do that.
Yeah, let's. So here's a question that's being posed, and this is from Russ. It says, and this is on Welcome. I want to make sure I get it right. Welcome to the Culture on Instagram. It says, are record labels covering up that hip hop is dying and is about to be replaced by country music? I think Russ makes a very compelling argument for this. So let's take a listen and see what he said.
They're going to keep boosting and juicing the stream so that it appears that, what are y'all talking about? Rap's not losing steam. There's country, sure, but we're still crushing. No, you're not.
Wow.
You're having to spend a lot of money to keep up the facade. This is A Star Is Born. What is the Lady Gaga movie? It's that.
A Star Is Born, yeah.
It's right now, the labels are doing everything they can to keep the makeup and the wig and the choreography going so that it looks like popping. But it's not. It's not.
And how does that end? Do they run out of money?
No, I think it's like every genre.
I think, bro, to be honest, once again, the truth is boring, right? Here's the truth. You know what it is? 4 years ago, every CEO was signing every SoundCloud rapper and their cousin. You know what they're about to do? Sign every country artist and their cousin.
What y'all think about that, man? Jay Moore, what you think?
I don't know. Sometimes when people make statements like this, and I want to know what spaces they're in. Because, you know, as much as the Beyonce song has picked up steam.
It sure has.
And it's the number one song on the country charts. You know, it's not like everywhere I went during All-Star Game. And once again, this is a different. I see how hip hop still moves people.
Yep.
What these CEOs and what they're willing to sign, you know, that's about capitalism. You know, and they're just trying to ride whatever new wave is going to come along. And they want to, you know, maybe we can find somebody else who wants to remake a song from the 80s and put a country twist on it like they did with Fast Car. I'm sorry, but maybe once again, it's the spaces I'm in. There hasn't been all of a sudden people wearing cowboy boots and trying to get big buckles. And just because Beyonce put out two country songs, you know, are they spending a lot of money that they're probably not recouping? Yes, but that's always been the case with hip hop. That's why everybody complains about their contracts. You know, so I don't really see this wave happening. I could be completely wrong. Like I said, I thought people were going to get tired of fashion hoe rap. And then here comes Sexy Red and, you know, basically blew my whole argument out of the water. But I'm sorry. I kind of see where he's coming from, but I think it's peppered with where he's at because he's already very successful and he might be in these rooms where there's a lot more country music randomly being played. And I am not. So I still see hip hop, whether it be the commercial side or the fact that like the, you know, legacy acts are still able to go out here and get so much money based on nostalgia. Like, I don't think that's going to end anytime soon.
What do you think about the part where he mentions the frequency with which artists were signed 4 years ago, fast forwarding to now?
Once again, that was people just trying to ride a wave, you know, because a lot of those people who were signed 4 years ago, we don't even know where they are now. You know, they might have gave them a single deal. You know, they might have, you know, set them up to where they had a hot 6 months, you know, but the way things move and we don't sit with things anymore.
True.
You know, the fact that like if you're going to put out a project now, you know, if you don't have a video and you don't have a song that's really popping and you put out a whole album, like it doesn't make any sense anymore. You know, we don't as our attention spans are so much shorter. Now, maybe what he sees is they might be willing to sign these country artists because people who listen to country music might have a longer attention span and they're able to get more out of less. I might be able to see that. But as far as rap dying, come on, dude. Like, that's hyperbole on so many levels.
Yeah, I don't see rap dying. I mean, that's kind of. Did he say
little extreme.
Did he even say that, though? I don't know.
Well, it's on the caption. It just says, are the record labels covering up the fact that hip hop is dying? I don't think he made it. I don't think he said that.
I think the conversation is just comes from like a bad place. It's okay. Like we're talking about the popularity of a certain genre of music as opposed to just like we're talking about the commercialization of it, which is what Jay alluded to, right? But it's the culture's not going anywhere. You know, like rap music isn't going anywhere. Like I personally don't care if they sign more artists or less artists. Why do I care what the commercialized capitalist side of hip hop does with artists that they're just trying to make a profit from anyways? Like, I don't really care. I honestly don't care at all. Because that's not the that's not the area of hip hop that I care about personally. You know what I mean? Like, so
it just doesn't work like that at the end of the day. That's how I feel. Because, I mean, if you think about through time, a records label job is to always try to figure out what's going on right now and try to keep feeding that energy.
Right.
Even though it might get corny and they catch on late, they still try to do the same thing and try to act like they're hip. I mean, if you think about the 90s, country music was lit in the 90s as far as popularity is concerned. Country artists, fans continue to buy their stuff too. And this this has always been known. Like, they've never stopped or slowed down buying these country artists' music. There's a country music awards that comes on every year.
True.
You know what I'm saying? They have a country music TV channel too. I don't know if they still show videos.
CMT, like it's run by the same people who own BET and MTV. So.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, so they have their outlet.
TV shows, yeah.
Like, yeah, they have their outlet, and that's not slowing down. As far as it taking the place, I mean, it's just, you got a couple hot songs, it's not going to replace a whole culture at the end of the day. That's how I feel about
that's
it.
That's a bar.
I mean, Beyonce can do what she wants to do.
She's in a position to do
in a position that she can do what she wants to do.
Right.
Just because she made a country song does not mean that everybody that listens to hip hop is going to gravitate towards country. So I don't feel like just because it's popular now and a couple of songs are getting played on urban stations that it's going to completely change the landscape of hip hop to it where it just dies off, because you have different types of hip hop. Maybe it changes the scope of hip hop that they're playing on the radio right now.
Right.
Maybe it brings it back to that same energy that we're used to and that we enjoy.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to just wipe out hip hop. I don't see that. Do you see them having all country artists Super Bowl halftime show?
No.
Or even at an NBA game halftime or Austria, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't
see that. I see them sprinkling a little bit here and there, but they're not going to be the main focus.
Unless they get like somebody like Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
And but even with Garth Brooks.
Even with that, though, to his point.
They have to still put somebody in there with him.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, but you know, NBA. I mean, NBA got it wrong this year with Jennifer Hudson. I don't know what they were thinking about.
Yeah,
there.
I don't know what that was.
That was terrible.
But historically, the NBA All-Star Weekend, the performance is never really top-notch. I mean, because I think one year it was Dame Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne is nice. Lil Wayne performed here. He just wasn't on the TV portion of it. But, yeah, I've never really paid attention to an NBA
All-Star halftime show.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right. Well, but still, I think even if we weren't, I don't think all of a sudden they're going to be the NBA pays tribute to country.
Yeah,
no. Right. I mean, Doughboy made a good point. He said rap/hip-hop isn't dying. I think it might be a country or pop turns into a top dog again, but it goes in cycles.
It's in cycles. I mean, think about in the day, you had Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, and all of them are movie stars based off of country music.
Yeah.
That started like in the 80s, well, late 70s, 80s, 90s, and so on and so forth.
Look, remember when Shania Twain was out here moving units?
Yeah.
Late 90s.
She did, like, when everybody was talking about, you know, Puff Daddy and the family, and it was like, that's cute, but Shania Twain just did 17 million.
Yeah.
You know, but that didn't take over the overall pop. That was her. It wasn't, she didn't bring everybody from country music in with her.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man. I'm trying to get them on there. Look, we all artists, man. You feel me? We gonna have this, like,
bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
No.
Yeah, a culture, quote unquote, dying, that takes of, especially of the magnitude of hip hop, that takes a lot.
I mean, you got to think about the nature of our country in general. It's more urban than it is country, so to speak. I mean, you have a lot of areas that are rural, but most of the main majority of people live in the urban areas or the cities.
Well, it's kind of like when people make that argument, you know, because people and you know, they're like, oh, we want to, you know, we want to make sure that we're taking care of real Americans, because they think it's the people who still go to the general store and, you know, and go to, you know, the football game is the main thing to do in the town every Friday. It's like, no, real America is Indianapolis, St. Louis, Los Angeles, Chicago. That's where everybody lives.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and. You know, it's they use these code words sometimes, just like when they call, you know, say, well, you know, we want to talk to hockey moms or we want to talk to suburban housewives, you know, but they're never thinking about, you know, my mother who's lived in the suburbs for 40 years. Mm. That's not who they're talking about, you know. So I just think sometimes when we talk about the demographics and like, oh, who we should appeal to, you know, even the country that you appeals to everybody's country that appeals to people in big cities.
Yeah.
So
I think this really speaks to. Just the power of Beyonce, man, because this literally could just be a conversation based off the fact that she, you know, got everybody in a tizzy from the country music, fan base or whatever you want to call it.
Is like, Taylor Swift country or is she just...
She used to be. She's done
country music, what I would think would be considered to be country music.
Okay.
But all I know is, like, even with the Beyonce song, like, I have heard it out more, not actually in the places where I'm at, but, like, I'm, you know, it was real... Weather got real nice yesterday, and you know, I did see somebody on one of those little trikes playing that song extra loud, like this ain't Texas, whatever that song is.
Yeah.
But then also, I heard somebody remix it and put Atomic Dog under it, and that went hard.
Yeah, it was slapping.
Yeah.
You'll probably hear that more so often
than the OG version, huh?
Just like you.
Well, nah, you won't hear it more than OG, but here. Yeah. You might hear it more.
I mean, just like you hear the that one version of her song with the Twista.
Yeah.
She actually had to end up putting
that out.
Yes.
As an official single.
Exactly. So.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think a lot of people will give credence to this. No diss to Russ.
No, it's just, you know.
Because it's Russ that's saying it.
And Russ knows what he's doing out here.
Now, he knows.
He does.
He's figured out, you know, he's cracked the code in a lot of ways.
True.
But that doesn't mean he can not be wrong.
Well, he cracked the old code.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think his model works in the same way that it works specifically for him. He was just the guy that did it in his model doesn't work anymore.
Outdated
in the same manner.
He's already here.
Like it definitely works for him. And I think to a degree you can get a decent amount of success following some of his principles, but doing it exactly the way he did it is just not possible anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different landscape. Social media is wild.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what created the Beyonce remix last. The Get It Wetter remix, essentially. Mm-hmm. To where she had to put it out because it gained so much steam on TikTok. Funny though that people don't think that more than one genre can exist in the same space and still be popular. Just because country is on the uprise does not mean it's going to just replace hip hop and hip hop dies. Nobody says that about any other genre though.
I think he's probably just speaking on it from an angle from the major label system and what they are going to prioritize, you know, in that manner, and what's going to be the most dominant thing.
Yeah.
Because country, even though hip hop's been the biggest thing for a long time, it's not like country wasn't big too.
Right.
True.
Yeah.
So. I mean, and then, like I said, we're talking about how different ways to get on are outdated. A lot of people aren't even trying to get those record deals anymore anyway.
Yeah, that's
unless it helps.
That's another piece.
You know
this.
What I'm saying?
That's another piece of this as well. So, it's like labels.
Old model,
labels are trying to hold on. I agree with him in that aspect. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to. We talked about Afrobeat, you know, and all that stuff recently. So I'm curious. I mean, again, like I said before, I don't care if hip hop is the most dominant thing or not. It would probably be better for the genre if it did.
If it wasn't the.
Because it would get a lot of suckers out of here.
It would.
There'd be people who are trying to just get in for a quick cash grab.
So perhaps this popularity could be a cleanse, perhaps.
I don't think a full cleanse, but I think maybe
partial cleanse.
Yeah, like if you eat enough raisins.
See, I didn't say anything.
I'm good.
It's like it's kryptonite.
It's something like that about raisins that just pauses your brain.
No, man. No, y'all not about to do this. I think we gave Benzino props too fast.
Are we talking about him again?
Well, I mean, he just doubled back on all the speech that we gave. Gosh. Talking about
nobody vote for this.
Okay, well, we don't have to talk about it.
He sobered up and still started going in on Eminem.
Yeah.
Well, that's all it is.
That's really what it is. Yeah.
Right, well, ain't really much to talk about there. All right.
Well, cool. We're moving right along.
All right, Benzino.
I didn't think he was capping though, man. He got me, so clearly that was cap.
Yeah, you get to crying again.
Liquor talks.
When the Remy's in the system.
Ain't no telling.
And my man.
That's what happened.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, we are back. Shout out to our partners as always. We appreciate the support. Appreciate those wonderful relationships with those people. Shout out to the chat if you're still rocking with us. Thank you for that.
I see y'all in there.
This dude's name is Curtis King. He's got two S's on it. I think it's Curtis King TV.
Yep.
Yeah, he made some interesting points, though, in terms of the industry trends and, you know, how things are looked at in terms of how artists post music today. I think it was the 1240 mark, Lone, is what you put in there. But yeah, shout out to Curtis King TV because this dude makes some very good points.
The Beatles didn't have to get up every day and worry about if they were going to post their TikTok too late into the day that day.
They was too busy putting all them damn multi-channels together and creating more instruments than they could perform live on Sgt. Pepper. Read up on that. Crazy. They wasn't dealing with that. They was up here trying to bend the borders of what music can be done. It's crazy.
That's true.
On an album for 3 months in the woods anymore. Because then you wouldn't have an internet connection to make the TikToks about the experience and vlog it and You have to, this infects your mind. You can't make art the same way anymore. And that's not just because the internet is around and all this stuff. And this affects every part of art. And I know that. But the way that you make music is to off.
There's a balance that we're going to have to speak about that I feel like there will be think pieces about at some point in time, years and years away from my generation, probably furthermore for the younger viewers and listeners here, that they will do think pieces about this time period in which they had literally all of us. Most of us think it's by our own choice, but they've had all of us believe that there is no existing, there is no success for you if you're not posting every day consistently, even at the sake of quality going down. And I feel like that is not just a result of the way that they're pushing the business or pushing the priority of virality within music. I think that's just a statement of society at large. And I think every generation finds its new thing to separate itself from the prior one, right? This line of thinking started me down a rabbit hole and understanding kind of like what some of the new artists who don't value lyrics, they don't value sonics, they don't value equipment. And some of that is kind of cool because it creates a lot of like up and comers who are really innovative and they're using what they have, because no longer having money is not an excuse, because you can use what you have and create and maximize upon that. And some really cool things happen because of that. But it's also creating people who think that that is the standard. And that is something, even as a DIYer, at one point an up and coming DIYer, I was never under the illusion that this was the same thing as someone who was taking their time to do this.
With the social media aspect of things, is a gift and a curse, because people can use the social media aspect to their advantage to help add to their product. But the thing about it is, what you're adding has to be just as good as the product, or it has to be worthy, so to speak. What I mean by that is, I see a lot of people just sharing content for the sake of sharing content.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily good content. If you're sharing something that's a song or a recording, it should sound like it should sound if you're releasing it, versus you're doing something and it sounds all muffled and crazy. And unless you're a certain type of artist, then you can do that.
I think there's different approaches to that, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I do, too. As like if you're organically making something.
Yeah.
But like for the people that are like, for example, on the DJ realm of things, if a DJ is posting a set online or like a snippet of or something, it should be the sound should be amazing. It should be the same thing as if I'm adding a song to my story.
The quality online should match, right?
It shouldn't be a rip from your phone. It should be directly sound coming into it.
Yeah. So if you're using content like that, it should always be top notch. If it's an artist and there is rough stems or they're brainstorming, I get that. But at the same time, people have to realize your product is still more important than the content. So if you're just sharing content every day and then the product that comes out is lackluster, people watch the content leading up to that. But then when the product actually comes out, it's like, one listen and I'm done. And I think what a lot of people are doing, too, is they're chasing the money that they get off making content, because the more content you got, the more likely that you're going to be able to monetize that
volume
that situation.
High volume.
It's more like they're also searching for another way to make the money
fast
because of their, you know what I'm saying, their music by using the content. But, you know what I'm saying, it doesn't always match up.
To that, I would say, and this is not even an intentional plug, but there's a book called Superfans.
Yeah.
And it speaks on this idea a little bit, and it talks about the idea of, from a content creator's perspective or a musician or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Or even us as a podcast. The way that I like to explain people that view our content is we have onlookers, we have fans, and then we have super fans. Onlookers are people that watch some of the stuff that we put out, and they're just like, all right, cool, I see what that is, right? That's on social media. Let's say TikTok, or maybe that's YouTube or something, mm-hmm. or like a short. They see that, and they're like, all right, cool, I know who these people are. They're just on looking. They're just looking at us. Maybe they follow us, maybe they don't, right? Mm-hmm. But what's going to get that person to go to the next step? What's going to get that person to be like, well, let me actually listen to what they're doing for this long form content, what we're talking about right now, this long form thing. Wow. And if you're giving people, to Terry's point, if you're giving people a bunch of content and you're just throwing everything at the wall, which we did for a while because we were trying to figure this algorithm out. But when you are just doing that, then you get a mixture. You get some people that really rock with you, and you get other people just be like, well, I don't know, I only rock with 50% of it. So why would I, because we're so overloaded with content as it is, it's better if you highly curate the stuff that you are creating. Same with the music, same with the stuff that you're putting out there. Like, there's a difference between the type of person that enjoys the thing that you're creating as opposed to a snippet of the thing that you're creating. And those, even though you may be able to get a lot of money or a lot of attention from something really quickly, it's the long play that actually converts people.
Exactly.
That gets people to really invest in you, to get people to really rock with you.
Versus
the quick, you know, virality of things. You know, yes, you can go viral one day, but the next day you're back to, you know, 100 views.
And nobody's checking for you.
Yeah, because you're not converting people. And part of that is, I don't even think it's people's fault. I think it's these platforms' fault, because that's what the algorithms are pushing for people to do. And I think people are doing what they think that they should.
One of the lines I typed down was, and I don't want to misquote it, but he says, the demand of artists to be content machines has created apathy and less empathy in the actual work. Kind of like along what we're talking about with the high volume, and I got to post. And you're not really paying attention to, you know, the quality of it. But no, y'all both make great points.
That's what people are fed right now. It's like you have to keep creating content.
You have to do it.
You just have to do it. And that's true. But it still needs to play a intricate role in what you're doing versus you just vomiting content out every single day that doesn't do anything
especially
for you.
Especially as like a musician.
Because
it's a little bit more harder for us. It's super challenging because we're a deep dive talk show.
Yep.
So how do we stick a deep dive into 30 to 60 seconds? Because that's what we have to do to get people to pay attention to us.
Right.
If we don't do that, then the algorithm does not like us.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a weird balance of trying to figure that out. But from a musician standpoint, it's the same way. It's super challenging. Me as a musician, I'm also trying to figure this stuff out with the types of remix videos that I drop, which ones work, which ones don't work, it's super challenging across the board.
When I remove myself from the creative space, whether it be on the podcast or, like Lone said, in the producer bag or as a musician, what you guys are saying is absolutely correct, because there's content that I consume where I've said openly, every once in a while they get it right.
Yeah.
And then there's other ones where I consistently find myself going back to because they always get it right.
Yeah.
The quality is so high all the time. Mm-hmm. They're going to get me every time I'm scrolling or I'm going through, or the algorithm pushes it in my direction. I just know it's going
to
be fire.
And even if you didn't like it, you gave it a chance because you know it's actually structured to the point that it's enjoyable still to check it out.
They've built my trust. They got my trust.
I really didn't like that clip, but I'll wait and see what they got to say next.
For sure. Bingo. Yeah. Yep. What you think, Jay, about this conversation?
You know, I just, once again, I worry about, if anything, how this is affecting everyone's brain as far as even consuming content.
Man.
You know,
there's going to be a study on this.
That's what he said.
You know, I saw something recently about how songs that have a certain amount of streams on Spotify, you know, and then you look at how many times they've been, the video has been watched, and like the correlation is, you know, it used to be right here. And now, you know, yes, people are still streaming the song, but they're not watching entire music videos anymore, even though you can look at them on YouTube.
Right.
Because a 4-minute video seems like too much of an investment of time.
It seems extremely long now.
You know, this doesn't even have to do with how we consume music. This is just how people's brains are going to be wired. You know, how is it that people are going to, you know, sit and read a book or be able to just, you know, consume anything that might be actually informational and educational because we're used to getting things in such short little pieces.
You know what's crazy, bro? And this is not a direct correlation to, like, from a creative standpoint. This is just me watching something. I ain't gonna say the name because they ain't cutting us a check, but I was watching something that had ads, and I caught myself getting frustrated because in the top right corner they had ads, and it's like a minute and 50 something seconds worth of ads. When we were kids, we used to sit down and just watch the commercials and then go back to whatever the program was. Now it's like I caught myself actually getting frustrated that it was a minute and 50 seconds.
Because you have a choice now. You know what
Thank
I'm saying?
You. Thank
Back
you.
Then, that was built into, this is just how it operated. I know I have to watch this. Commercial's going to come on. I got time to run and do something else real quick.
Yep.
Make it back before the commercial.
Right.
Now you can literally purchase a streaming service that will cut all the commercials out.
Yep.
So when you have to watch commercials, it's a, you know what I'm saying? It irks you because you can't skip past it.
Yeah.
And then, you know what's crazy too, is people consume stuff so fast, you can make a video go faster.
Yeah.
You can make it go like 0.5 or even a second faster.
TikTok, you can.
Yeah, just to make it
do it on YouTube.
Hurry up and get done.
Get to where you want to go.
So I can move on to the next thing.
Or I can just watch. I can watch the guy speak two times as fast.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't have time to listen to this. You know, if I can watch it in 2 minutes, why would I watch it in four?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but also it's just a thing where I think it also is how consumerism is being driven. Mm-hmm. Just to go to your point, you know, we talk about, you know, watching commercials and how much that irks us now when we just realized at one point that was a part of our lives.
Yeah.
Now, you know, on Amazon, on all their original programming, you know, even though you pay for Amazon Prime, they want another like $2 or $3 for you to watch it without commercials.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and so like if your mind is wired to not watch something and not have to deal with commercials, you know, there are millions of people, you'll go ahead and pay the $2 or $3 not to have to watch the commercials. Yes. And so here's a multinational corporation that has found another way based on people's impatience and, you know, inability to sit through anything that seems inconvenient.
Yeah.
That's going to make millions, if not billions of dollars, $2 or $3 at a time.
Yeah.
Just because people are used to seeing their content uninterrupted.
Right now. Like I literally do that with YouTube because, like, I get YouTube and I get the music streaming platform too.
The premium.
Yeah, so since I have the music streaming platform, they give me the YouTube premium for free.
Yeah.
And I've been so used to that. And y'all hear me when we were on the show, sometimes you pull up a clip like, should have paid for that premium.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It shows a commercial immediately. So now I'm programmed that I don't want to see commercials
during YouTube. Oh no.
But I want our show to have commercials because that's how we get paid.
Facts.
Right. I just don't want to be, you know.
That's it.
No, I mean,
I caught myself doing it, bro.
Because I literally, like, I got it for 3 months for free.
Yeah.
And I tried to go back to watching YouTube with commercials and I couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's
I fell victim to it. I was like, what, $11? Okay, that's fine.
It's worth it.
It's worth it for me to be able to, even when I sit and sometimes review our show or watch our clips so we can, and because I want to get right to the comments and see how people are either engaging us constructively or just hating. I don't want to have to watch a commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild, man. And to that the one guy's point when he was talking about how the Beatles put together their album and they didn't have to worry about these types of things. That's just music in general. So if you think about '80s, '90s, you had bands. You had more bands available because people had to learn how to play these instruments in order to come together and make this music. Then you had to have an engineer that was going to record them and put it all together. Now all you need is a laptop that has GarageBand on it. And, you know what I'm saying, something that you can play the keys with and program the music yourself. It eliminates all of that stuff to the point where now it's mandatory that you do the other stuff.
I don't know if they're directly correlated like that, but I see what you're getting at. I would relate it to, and I've been holding on to this idea. I talked about it with a student of mine this week, actually. But like, and it goes along with everything we're saying. Have you ever like showed somebody young our show? What was the first thing that they said? Be like, oh, I do a podcast.
They don't know what we're talking about.
Okay. Well,
For me,
yeah.
I've shown younger cousins or something a podcast. Uh-huh. And what I get is, man, you guys got a real podcast.
Okay. You guys aren't going where I'm thinking.
That's what I get.
So, yeah, that's one piece. But if you typically, and I see this all the time because I have a lot of younger students.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell them I make music, they'll be like, oh, yeah.
Viewers.
They want to know your stats.
Number one thing is always, how many views does this video have? How many subscribers do you have? How many people listen to your music? How many Spotify weekly, whatever do you have? Mm-hmm. Constantly. And I'm talking about the younger generation, like Generation Z and all that stuff. And it's wired into us as well. But this is so detrimental because it completely removes. I had to break this down to one of my students and I was like, you know, it's capitalism, but it's bigger, but it's bigger than that because it's like people don't create art for consumerism. Consumerism is a part of selling art. It's a different thing. We sell art because we need to sell art. Artists are going to create art regardless.
This is true.
And so if you disagree with that, you're probably not an artist. You're probably just somebody that's moonlighting. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if you don't agree. But art is for art's sake. Yes, we want to be able to understand how to create content and all this other stuff. And that's important to sustaining yourself and all this other stuff. But the art's the most important thing. Terry alluded to this as well a little bit ago. But the viewership aspect is the thing that I think is so crazy. It's like everybody cares about the views. I almost want the numbers to disappear publicly mm-hmm. from everything.
But it's funny you said that because you remember I told you that the one time I went to go speak at a friend's class, they had the age group that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled up our TikTok. The video that they wanted to click was, oh, that one's got 55,000 about Meek Mill. Click that one. It proves exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to see how many followers y'all got. You just made me think about that. I literally just went through this like a month and a half ago. It's how many followers y'all got? Yeah.
Even like with this video, the cipher that went viral here, people were talking about how many views it got.
Yeah.
So whether you like it or not, it got this many views.
And it becomes valid.
And it becomes valid basically based off the viewership.
Yeah. But jump in, Jay.
No, I mean, but almost to make it personal, just regarding us, you know, have you ever gone through and watched, you know, and looked at our content and thought, wait a minute, this was either really funny or really poignant.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, how did this one only get 87 views?
Yeah.
And this one, when we, you know, we were talking about something that I didn't think was as particularly engaging. I'm looking at it and it's got 2 points, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like when we were just talking about, you know, the whole thing with Laura being a bum, as far as like,
oh, yeah.
I thought like that didn't do anything.
Yeah.
No, well, a lot of people probably can't even relate to that.
But
though,
there are a lot of TGIF for the people who watch our content, like that's never very relatable. But at the same time,
crazy.
I didn't think anybody was going to care on TikTok or Instagram. One of them, when we were just, it was like, I don't even think it made the
Meek
full
Mill
show.
In Africa.
Oh, Meek Mill in the show. And when we were talking about Def Jam Fight for New York, I didn't think that was going to do anything.
It's like people are going to post or say something when they disagree with you more than they do.
That's a lot of it too. Yeah.
And that's what drives that energy and that traffic to it, because people are so content on not agreeing with what's going on, whether they understand it or not. And it keeps on popping up based off of that versus somebody might see something that they really enjoy and just like it and keep on moving.
But there's this weird, you know, what I've noticed is there's this weird nexus of, I don't know, of whiteness whenever we talk about Kid Rock, Eminem,
yeah,
or anybody conservative.
Yeah.
That pops up, and all of a sudden, not only does it do numbers, but then we get a bunch of people I know who don't watch any of our other content. And it's almost like it sets off an alarm in these people's houses.
Some of that is me. I'm doing that to a degree because of the tags that I use. I'm doing that to a degree. But
stay woke.
But sometimes, yes. Some of that is based upon how we can program that on with the tags and stuff like that.
But the thing is, you've reposted like it doesn't matter if we've already posted the stuff about Kid Rock, it catches again
every time.
That's crazy.
It's multiple things. Yeah. So I don't know. It's to Darius' point, everything. I don't want to get too sidetracked from what the main talking point,
right?
You know, but social media, because I feel like we talk about this almost every week now to some degree of just how
the layers
somewhere are related to it. Yeah.
Yeah. How crazy it is right now just for creative people and just consumers. Because even though I talk about the view stuff, it's not like I'm not guilty of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
no, for sure.
I mean,
for sure.
We want views. I mean, views, yeah. We run a internet talk show essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So our viewership matters. Like this is what our bread and butter is the viewership.
It's very important.
Based off, if we're making music on the side, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This isn't adding to something we're already doing. This is the product right here.
Right.
Right.
So
part of it.
Yeah.
The second part of that video that he talked about was him saying that the only thing that matters now with the younger generation is
the vibe.
As I start to try to understand why some of the artists that sometimes are opposing my videos or they're complete opposite of the idea of selling their music, I start to navigate to content like this clip that was reposted on a well-known hip-hop collector, Newface, on his Instagram. And he kind of put it up here criticizing it. But as much as I disagree with what this young dude is getting ready to say, I do applaud him for speaking truth. Or his truth, at least. He was going off about Killer Mike winning the three Grammys, sweeping the rap category, and he gave a young perspective on why he feels disconnected from Killer Mike's music and just that type of music in general. I'm gonna let him talk about it.
About how I did not know who Killer Mike was. I woke up to 1,000 comments of old heads talking about, oh, how you don't know who Killer Mike is? How you don't know who Killer Mike is? And they gave me a few song suggestions. So on my walk to class, I say, you know what? I'm going to expand my palette. I'm going to actually go in these comics and pick out a few songs and listen to them. I listen to the songs, bro. Mm-mm. And still not my cup of tea. But look, I know exactly why I didn't like those songs. The older generation tends to like the lyrics. You know what I'm saying? The lyrics are the most important thing. The content, what he's actually saying. Is he telling a story? Is he saying something? That's the most important thing to them. But for us, it's all about the aura. The lyrical content doesn't even matter. Is it a vibe or not?
What did I tell y'all last week?
Somebody gonna have to tell the truth and I'm gonna tell.
What did I tell y'all last week? The worst word that has ever found its way to hip hop is vibe. The vibe.
There
the
it
vibe,
is.
Fam. It's the vibe. I feel like,
and
which is the word I use.
And you know what? I don't disagree with that really.
Nice. No, I agree with him 100%. And to your point about when you talked about someone that's younger, how they, you know, review or perceive the podcast, this goes to that same thing from a youth standpoint. It's 100% about the vibe. It's everything.
And I hate to have to keep bringing him up, but Kai Cenat.
Mm-hmm.
His show is him just wowing out, essentially.
Yeah.
He's not saying anything poignant on any episode.
No.
He's sitting there listening to something.
And then yelling.
And yelling and getting up and dancing.
Has ADHD.
And sitting back down. And,
yep. and the NBA
is making millions of dollars off this. He's got a Nike deal.
Yeah, the NBA made him the center point of part of the All-Star celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Played in the celebrity game, all that.
Yeah, but it's definitely about a vibe because, I mean, if you think about Uzi Vert's song, last year that went crazy.
Yeah.
I Want to Rock. He's not saying anything in this song. It's literally just a rhythm and him tapping his sides and doing his little punk ass dance.
Do you think it's because of this attention span related thing? Or do you have any? Because that's what I think.
Yeah. It's 100% the attention span.
I don't think people have the attention span to listen to lyrics.
They don't want to because they feel like a lot of people always use the example or excuse that when I want to listen to music, I don't want to learn nothing.
I saw that too.
That's weird. I mean, even if I don't learn anything from listening to music, and I'm not necessarily learning stuff from listening to the music I like. I like hearing stories, though.
It's literally people saying, I don't want to think. You guys are making me work too hard if I have to think about anything that I'm listening to. It just puts me in a mood. That's all I need.
Yeah.
As long as I'm in the mood, I'm good. Whatever mood that is, I'm good with
That's why I think sometimes I get confused when younger kids will be like, man, this artist changed my life. I'm like, how? Like
based off what?
They're not saying it. Based off their vibe? Yeah, their vibe changed your
life. That's it. It's the vibe.
No, this is the thing. Like, I don't know. I have to believe it's about a vibe, because if I believed it was about the actual content of the music, I'd be like, we are lost as a culture.
Yeah,
true. You know? So I'm glad to hear them say it's a vibe, and I can't relate to the lyrics, or the lyrics are too complex, because
there are
sometimes when I find myself actually listening to what these people are saying outside of the beat and outside of how it makes people move. Yeah. And I'm like, this is just
so
awful.
Basic,
you know, but at the same time, they don't want to hear, you know, the buck that bought a bottle could have struck the lotto. Like, it's too much for them to deal with.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, let's just be real. You know, there's a lot of people who didn't want to hear that from when Nas put it out. Remember, his album didn't even go gold when it came out. Like, don't get the game messed up. As much as we talk about Illmatic and the classic nature of it, it wasn't on the radio all the time.
I wasn't on the radio at all.
At all. Unless you had a little college station or you had, you know.
Or you was in New York.
Yeah. Unless you had, like in St. Louis, we had a community, KDHX, and I'd be able to hear it on Street Vibes on Friday nights. And that was about it, because I knew that the commercial station, Magic 108 at the time, was not playing Nas. Mm-hmm. You know, if I didn't listen to, if I didn't listen to the community radio station, I wouldn't even know. It's the same thing with a group like Curious. You know, when they came through, they're on the same label, Columbia. You know, major label acts still couldn't get played on the radio with all the promotion, t-shirts, stickers, and all that. It still wasn't going to break through. So I'm not just going to put it on this generation, because this part, you know, I love the song Big Papa by Notorious B.I.G., but you can almost say,
I don't think it's about the
there's
generation.
A vibe I don't think to
it's
that
about,
song.
I don't think
why you say that?
I don't think it's about, what do you mean? I don't think it's about the generation aspect of it. I think it's just this generation is just the golden
era of the vibe.
It's just it's like the golden ticket. It's like, you know, it's that thing.
Let's get straight to it.
It's what it is. It's just like I don't even mean this in a condescending way when I say they don't have attention spans. They grew up in a culture where nobody has an attention span.
That's
like,
true.
It's just like,
or has to wait for anything.
No. Yeah, it's just like everything's immediate. You know, there's everything
new
is
music
instant.
Doesn't just drop on Tuesdays anymore.
Everything is just instant gratification. It's you know, we have access to everybody and everything
right now.
And do you know, we didn't grow up. We grew up with the internet, but we didn't grow up with this.
And it was in its infancy stage when we were younger. But can you imagine what the kids, how messed up they would be if they had to wait? Like, we used to have to wait to hear music.
They would be the same as us if it never happened.
If it never happened.
I'm just saying, you
got to think about how. So my senior year in high school is when the internet really started, like, oh, this is a thing now. Mm-hmm. I can go to sites and pull up this and it loaded crazy slow.
Yeah.
So even then, we had to be patient with the internet that we were experiencing at the time.
Good point.
It didn't necessarily bother us. But once it started evolving, and this kind of leads all the way back up to where we talked about commercials.
Right.
Now we're irritated with everything going slow. And that's the same thing. It applies to everything. It applies to the music. It applies to fashion. It applies to TV. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as the show is over, you're ready to see the next season. Like, why do I have to wait until 2024 or 2025 to see the next season? Well, they got to shoot it.
My wife won't even watch series that only have one season.
Yeah, because she's so ready
she's
to
like,
go
no,
to the next
I need
season.
At least four.
See?
Yeah, because we want that instant gratification. So if I can save up some gratification in a jar, and then, you know what I'm saying?
That's, just set that's it to the side.
Yeah, set it to the side. And okay, I got enough in the jar that I can, I can, you know what I'm saying, appease myself until I got to recharge on some more.
Well, look,
it's just where we are right now in general, and you can't really blame that on.
No, I don't blame it on
the kid. Yeah, you were saying that. You can't really blame it on them because that's just how they grew
that's
up.
How
that's
grew
how
up.
They came up.
But they do embody it. They embody it to a crazy amount.
But look, we all remember or at least, you know, I can remember when they were like, okay, Michael Jackson's Black or White video premiering basically on every station in the world.
Come on.
And you had to wait for it, you know, and then it was a big deal. And then everybody could, nobody got it early. And then once it went off, it's not like they were going to play it again immediately.
No, you had to
had to wait to see it again. You know, this is
like, okay, let's go read a book now.
Yeah, exactly. this is the crazy, just think about it like this. I saw like, you know, somebody posted up on one of the sites, video for the commercial for the Rough Side of the Mountain, you know, it was like the gospel collection.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
you know, it was like who in the hell left the gate open? Up.
Who in the hell left the gate open?
And it, it was like, you know, so many cassettes and so many LPs, and or I think maybe they had an 8-track option, and it was like a wait 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, you had to wait 6 weeks to get that in the mail.
And no CODs. Yeah. Can you imagine if you ordered something off Amazon and they told you wasn't going to be there for four to six weeks? I get mad when the next day shipping, and I look at it and it's going to come. It don't come for 2 days.
I have my stuff filtered. I have it filtered, and I know at what time of day I can get on there and still get it the same day because I want it right now. A lot of times, if I can't get it the same day, I won't even order it, and then I'll put it off again. And I could have just ordered it right now and had it a day or two later, and I just didn't order it.
If you wanted to have Alfonso Ribeiro teach you how to break dance, you had to wait 4 to 6 weeks for that rap tape.
Fill out some in the back of a book or something and send it in.
For him to send you that cardboard so you could break dance with your parents' permission. Yeah,
and pray that it didn't get lost in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
To the post office we go.
Yeah.
It's almost like we were hitting that peak. We're hitting that point when COVID hit. And then when COVID hit, it just never came back.
Yeah.
And it's been running ever since. And maybe it's because we didn't have a gradual jump into it or something. Maybe that's part of the reason, but
like the world stopped.
It did.
It actually stopped.
But it has made all the stuff that we're talking about and the straight vibes. And don't get me wrong, the vibe thing has been around for a minute.
It has.
But it just seems like it's to an extreme to where like, we have a literal category that's like best hip hop album, and people are upset that the hip hop is hip hopping. It's just, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, they're bad that the there was actual lyrics,
words,
and a message, like, and the music sounded like it took more than just 2 hours to put together.
And this is these reactions
it's making me feel emotions. I don't like that. I just feel the vibe. That's it.
These aren't pockets of reaction. The reactions that we saw that we talked about Killer Mike, this is everywhere. This is not just here, and I'm not seeing just little bits of this. People were saying this all over the internet.
Yeah.
So it just speaks to, like Lowe said, just the era. Yeah, it's the divide. It just shows that the era that we're in.
We were lucky enough to grow up with music, listening to it the way that we did.
Yeah.
And they just don't have that experience. They don't have to soak up, sit down with an album for a week or two until the next album that we want to hear drops. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have buy the CD, put it in the car, and then you rock that CD for a while until you buy a new CD.
Or you trade with your homies.
And you find the ones that do, you call them old toes.
Yeah.
Because they're enjoying music the same way that we think it's intended to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we've just evolved past that.
Did y'all see Schoolboy Q change his mind about wanting white people to use the N-word as concerts?
I mean, he said he was high.
Thank you. Because he posted a picture of this book that says, I think there was a chapter named after him, and the book is entitled They Can't Kill Us Until They Kill Us. And one of the book's chapters is titled Schoolboy Q Wants White People to Say the Word. And then he clearly was like, I was on drugs, and I'm not rocking with that now. Who else did we mention in the, like,
Doja Cat?
Was it Doja Cat that we brought this up?
Where she told her fans to chill. Which, I was like, okay, props to Doja Cat. Because once again, I thought she was...
Kendrick's done the same
showing
thing.
Showing feet.
I remember Kendrick did it a while
chat
back.
Rooms.
Is that what our conversation is about?
Well, yeah, I mean, I saw this when they got some votes, but we can keep it moving.
No, I was just asking.
Yeah.
Cause I really want to hear it had some more mean potatoes
nah,
to,
it's just him.
Being Schoolboy Q.
All right, well, I'm glad that he's not on the drugs and changed his mind. Shout out to Schoolboy Q. We're looking forward to that project.
Yeah, man.
Title Blue Lips? Ain't that what it's called?
Yeah, that's what happens when you smoke copious amounts of marijuana.
Smoke what?
Copious
Pella.
Amounts of marijuana.
A gang of
lips blue.
A lot.
Or black.
A lot. But now, even with him, at least he's honest. He said he was.
It goes without being said. Y'all should know better anyway. I don't care who tells you it's okay. It's never okay because there's going to be somebody there that doesn't think it's okay.
That doesn't know
and
you.
It might not end very well. So this is just advice from the New Old Heads podcast that in these situations, just do the right thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just mute yourself.
Before you wind up with an eye jammy.
Yeah, you don't want that eye jammy.
Or if you want to say it, just say it.
Yeah, and see what happens.
Would you say, Lone, just deal with it?
Consequences and repercussions.
Yeah,
habits and contradictions.
But make sure you actually say it out loud to somebody.
Yeah,
not just
say it real loud next to some black people you don't know.
Yeah, do that.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, Lone? You got to make sure.
Say it with your chest too. Mm-hmm. See how far that gets you.
You know, shot be on some Riley Cooper with it.
Yeah, don't mumble it. If you gonna say it, say it.
Say it.
Yeah, say it with your chest. Right.
Look up Riley Cooper. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Eagles. Correct.
Yep.
There we go. I remember.
Boondocks.
No.
That would be silly, man.
Be Riley Freeman.
Man, I wish Pops didn't die.
I know, man.
Until we get another rendition of the Boondocks.
And perhaps another Friday.
Yeah. Shout out to John Witherspoon. Anyway.
They can AI his voice.
Yeah, they could, but that's up to his family.
It ain't going
to
hit the same, Long.
He's right, though.
They can also soar the video. Put him in it.
Yeah.
Soar the video. AI it.
You're so right. You're right. That's weird, but you're so right.
I don't want that. I don't want none of that energy.
Yeah. He might have 9 fingers. Because that's typically
what happens. Forehead might be too shiny.
Come on, man.
That's what happens.
We can't do Pops like that. Let's just go ahead and leave that alone.
Yeah. We just going to have to do him like how they did in House Party.
Yeah.
With Robin Harris and just let it go.
Be like, no.
But they didn't have the technology to do it back then.
No, because if they did, they would have done it.
Yeah. Which I know we just talked about. We talked about fans, obviously, with the N-word or whatever. And shout out to Schoolboy coming on home, I guess, if you will.
Coming on home from that reefer.
Did you see the video of Ghostface? Did you see that when the fan was there was a fan that flipped him off and was calling him out of his name. So Ghost steps up to him and was like, man, I will floor you if you get close to me. And then two of his homies came up beside him. The next thing you know, people with Wu-Tang t-shirts just start beating this dude up.
Well,
there you go.
Prime example, because people was putting Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing up and whatever, just saying that, but
nobody cares about people.
Some do. But bro, it just goes to show you how reckless some of these people can be at these shows, because Ghost was like, what's up? Because dude was clearly
did something to piss off Ghostface. Clearly he didn't know anything about Ghostface Killah or the Wu-Tang Clan or Wu-Tang Clan fans.
Ghost was like,
they are active.
Bro, I actually laughed so hard when the Wu-Tang fans start turning on dude and then they just ran him up out of there. Security came, they were already punching him and just got him up out of there. And Ghost was like, yeah, get him out of here. Like, shout out to Ghost, shout out to Wu, man. Like, be careful what you wish for talking to these grown folks.
Look, man, I said it in another context a couple weeks ago, but if you don't know who you're talking to,
you did.
Be quiet.
I think he knew who he was talking to.
Mm-hmm.
You think he did?
I don't think he read the room, though.
Now, they said...
Once again, but I said that, too. Read the room and understand who you're talking to.
They said he was a little inebriated, so perhaps that goes...
So was Riley Cooper.
Off that oil.
He might have been off that oil a little bit, but you still got to be careful who you mess with.
Yeah, everybody's off that oil, and that's why you got to run up out of there.
Yeah, a Wu-Tang concert is not the place to be.
Disrespected Wu-Tang members? No, it's not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
You're in the wrong place, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Seeing somebody get punched... by people
barking
that
up the
Wu-Tang
wrong tree there, buddy.
Yep. Ghost is like, just come right here. He said, I promise you, you'll be on the floor. I was dying laughing. So shout out to them, man. Be careful what you wish for.
Apricot preserves.
These are grape preserves.
Yeah.
Hey, his bar last week, was it last week you were talking about the preservatives?
Yeah.
That was classic.
There was one summer I tried to make my own grapes.
Oh, yeah?
Or not my own raisins. I was like, I just put them in this.
Just try to dry them out.
Just kind of dry them out.
Yeah, that didn't
left
work too
in,
well.
Left them in this little thing and went on vacation. And 2 weeks later, I was like.
Shout out to you if you stuck around in the chat. We appreciate you as always. If you see it, like it, subscribe, leave a comment as well. That really helps us as we advance in what we do.
Yeah, on Spotify or Apple Music if you listen on there.
Yes, please leave us a comment. Right, 5 stars. They got the options. And we appreciate y'all's support as always. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.
Yep.
Bye.